All right, thanks, Carol. Good morning, everyone. So we are continuing our welcoming theme for the year. So we're going to think about how to welcome the newcomer. And so let me pray before I begin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have welcomed us, first of all, into your family. And we pray that on the basis of this, that we will learn to be a good welcomer to others, knowing that you have put us in this world to save the lost and to bring other people in. And we pray that you'll give me clarity as I speak your word. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen. In front of you there is one of the nicest tennis club in Sydney. How do I know it's nice? First of all, it's in the eastern suburbs. Second of all, Roger and Federer and Hewitt played out a match here in a tournament called the Davis Cup about 10 years ago. Number three, they also have security guards at the front guarding everyone before you actually get to go into the club. So about 2 years ago, I got to go to this tennis club for an away match, and this club was the host. Now, we won't talk about the result of that match, but I want to talk to you about the food afterwards. There were eight of us around the table pre-COVID, a few cheese platters, plates of quiches, pies, any drinks at the bar at your picking. They were such great hosts that even though when you walked away losing that match, you feel so welcome to the extent that you kind of want to give them the same welcoming treatment in return. And it's this kind of welcoming reciprocity that we're talking about today. Do unto others what you have them do to you. At the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to live in this world, how to be distinctive in the way they treat others, and also in their mindset as well. At the heart of this command, it's really just about being thoughtful and kind of being courteous in the way you treat others, isn't it? Do unto others what you have them do to you. And if you think about it a little bit more, it's no different to welcoming others as you like to be welcome. And so as we keep thinking through how to do welcoming well to the outsider, here are 3 points for you today. Number one, welcoming in the church starts with being a good host. Number two, being a good host actually means a whole bunch of things. But least of all, it means being a generous host. And number three, a good host will actually have confidence in their product. So number one, welcoming in the church starts with a good host. Airbnb has become one of the most successful and profitable companies in the world. And at the heart of the Airbnb success story is that people should feel that they belong anywhere. This is actually their kind of motto and their philosophy, that people will feel belonged wherever they go. And the job of this Airbnb host, wherever they are, is to actually facilitate that experience that kind of screams out to the guests, you belong here. The last time that Izzy and I stayed at an Airbnb place was in the south coast at Kiama. This place felt quite homely and comfortable, so it was almost like a home away from home, even though it was my first time staying there. And I guess for me and Izzy, it's more comfortable considering how messy our own home actually is. It was almost like a home that is better than your home. So this particular place, you could see that the whole downstairs of the host house was the Airbnb. And it backed out to a backyard that we could use as well. And on this slide, you see this outdoor spa that the host said we could use anytime. But the first thing that actually came to my mind was, well, what if we were both about to go in at the same time? Like, yes, it was a four people spa, but it's also really awkward if I was sharing that spa with the lady and her husband. And it was almost like my facial expressions gave just a little bit too much away. That kind of led her to say, oh, if you're at the spa, then I won't be at the spa. And I was like, oh, good, thank God. And she kept going, maybe because I still looked a little bit worried. She's like, oh, if you're using that backyard, then I won't be using the backyard. Now, after the holiday was done, you write a review for your hosts, and I was there thinking, what actually made this place so good? And the more I thought about it, the more it came back to the fact that about this Airbnb's philosophy of making guests feel that they belong. The whole week, I could burp, I could fart, I could be semi-naked because I felt like that was my own home. Having that privacy that I needed, I felt like I belonged there. And I think it's a little bit like that with welcoming newcomers into church. We're all kind of mini hosts looking to bring our guests in, making them feel like they actually belong. Except I think there is one big point of difference between the cross life and also the Airbnb place. Airbnb's main game is to actually provide a really good place for the guests. I think our main game actually starts with us, the people who are the hosts to this place. Why do we need to start with the people? Well, let's face it, we don't have the greatest of church buildings, and so even if we play the building game, we might not actually get very far. Imagine if there was an Airbnb or the domain website of churches where people kind of scroll through where they want to visit on a Sunday just on the appearance of the building. And so they see St. John's Asquith, they see Waitara Anglican, and then they see Crosslife. And even if our completed renovations look 10 times better, I'm not sure if we can even compete at that level. But my second and more important reason is that the church is the people. The church is actually this, what you're seeing in front of your screens right now. And in one sense, I think lockdown actually helps us remember that, doesn't it? Because without the church building, we are still a church, because we are redeemed people gathered together to praise and to worship God. I described to you about the Airbnb that had a spa and all the other nice amenities that made the place great. But this was until we went on another holiday, and I thought this place exceeded that place that had a spa. Now, this place didn't have any of those things. It didn't have dogs and cats for easy to play with, and it was also further away from all the shops and places that we wanted to go to. But when I went home, I actually gave this place a better rating. When I was asking Izzy why she thought that might have been the case, she said that it must have been because that really nice old lady that you were talking to for about half an hour while she was watching Netflix. And I was like, yeah, it was actually the host of that place that actually did it for me. When I talked to the host, it didn't feel like she was there just to get my money or my rent. She was so open and honest with her life that she told me all about her three sons and daughters who lived in Sydney and other country towns. And even what their future life plans were now that they're fully retired. You see, a welcoming place is actually a lot more than showing you around the facilities, telling you what you can and can't use. But a welcoming place actually starts with being a good host. And I think there is something for us to learn from that as well as we think about welcoming that newcomer. Welcoming the newcomer is a lot more than our building or even saying hello at the front door. But welcoming starts with us being that good host. So what does a good host actually look like? Well, this leads me to my second point, and that's being a good host actually means being a generous host. I'm actually just going to keep telling you about that last holiday that I went on. I want you to meet this guy called Des. Des is a keen cyclist. He's in his 60s or 70s. He owns the one and only bike shop in Kiama and even gave me a 20% discount when I was hiring his bikes. And it was very handy because these e-bikes that we were hiring, they almost run itself with a motor and costs a lot more even just to hire. So Izzy and I went into the shop, and as you do, you have a yarn with Des the local for about 20 minutes before you actually talk about the bike hire. What did I talk to Des about for so long? I don't know, probably nothing substantial and what we normally refer to as crap. But what struck me was this. After we'd finished the ride, Des saw that we enjoyed the ride so much that he asked me, "Hey, are you guys around on Sunday?" And I was thinking, oh, here he is trying to get my business again. And then he said this. He said, "I was just gonna show you around the town on a few tracks that visitors don't really know about." And I was thinking, is this guy serious? Is he trying to run? He's trying to run a business here, and on his off day, he wants to spend a few hours with me, for free. See, a generous host is actually not self-protective. I just met a host who wasn't self-protective of his time, a host who wasn't self-protective of his money, of his reputation, and he just kind of laid it all out there for me to see who he really was. And it kind of showed in every facet of my limited interaction with him, from how he treated me when I first came into the shop to kind of the last minute when I left. And at the heart of it, I saw that being a generous host means that you can't be self-protective. And I think sometimes what stops us from welcoming others is our desire to protect ourselves. See, we protect our time because we'd much rather spend time with our loved ones than with someone I barely have a relationship with. We protect our reputation because when we share our lives with others, that perfect image of us on the outside is actually all destroyed. But the context of this one verse that we're looking at today, well, actually tells us why we can afford to be just a little generous to that newcomer. Have a look at verse 8. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." See, sometimes we're protective of the things that we have around us because we don't think that God is good enough for us. We feel like we need to have control over every part of our lives because we've forgotten that God knows and provides for our every need. But in verse 11 here, it tells us that God does give us good things when we ask. And he knows exactly what we need and when we need them so that we don't need to be self-protective. And you see, when we have that security that God gives us, we're able to look outward to others a lot more and be a lot more generous in every regard. And so being a good host of church means being a generous host with our time and our welcoming. The first thing I want to say here is that we need to be on time for church, whether it's on Zoom or in person. You'd hate to be that newcomer who arrives before anyone else. I imagine how unwelcoming it is for your guests to come into church and have absolutely no one to talk to. But if you are there early, be generous in your welcoming as well. You know, saying hello and greetings are good, but try and make conversation and do small talk with people. I actually think we're quite bad at it. From my experience, very few people will actually get to the deeper conversations with you right from the get-go. And so it just takes a lot of time to actually build trust and rapport with someone that you have just got to start from the beginning. I'm not asking you to share your deepest sins and struggles with a newcomer because they probably won't want to hear it as well. But if there is a chance to open up and to be a little bit vulnerable, then take that in your conversations and see where it leads you. Be generous with your time and your life in your welcoming. Even when we think we don't know how to be that good host and welcome others, well, the fact that you have Jesus actually suggests otherwise already. Which leads me to my final point today. A good host actually has confidence in their product. When Izzy and I were trying to get another car early in the year, we went out to a Mazda dealer in Rye to go for a test drive. And when we came back from the test drive, the dealer asked me, said, "So what did you think of the car?" And then I said this, I think the engine in that car is actually really bad and sluggish, and the car just didn't really go. And then Izzy was sitting there next to me going, she was like, "Dude, I can't believe you just said that." And the car dealer started also to cave a little bit, said, "No, that cannot be right. But our aesthetics are good. Look at the new Mazda 3's interior with all its soft plastics and everything." And then I was thinking, oh, he actually agrees with me. He also thinks that the engine is really slow and sluggish. And so we ended up walking away from that deal, and I was glad I did. Because what I saw was that this guy has lost complete confidence in his own product. Now, I want you to look at the product that we have and the characteristics that's in it. In 2 Corinthians 5, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The product here is the gospel in verse 18 and 19. Though we were once hostile to God because of our sins, Jesus took that sin on himself so that we can be reconciled to God. What else does it say? Well, we who have the gospel, we're called ambassadors in verse 20. Ambassadors or representatives of the gospel. We ourselves are not the product, but we represent and promote Jesus as best as we can. And we can be confident of this product in verse 18 because you can see that, well, God has actually done all the work there already. And so when newcomers come into church, or even when you're sharing Jesus with outsiders, we don't need to be scared or that we don't have the right words to say. We don't need to be scared that we're not somehow similar enough to the outsider. Because we have confidence in our product. Because God is actually the real host who has done all the work already. And so all that is left for us to do then is to extend that welcome on behalf of him. After I saw that car dealer lose confidence in his own product, the next thing he went on to do was just to offer me more discounts. But at that point, I was already like, oh, it's not so much about how much the car is anymore. You've already told me that you don't even believe in the quality of your product. And so being a good host is about being welcoming and generous to the newcomer, yes. But more than that, it's also asking, do we really believe in what we have? Do we really believe in the gospel? You see, am I really struck by the death that Jesus died for me? Do I come to God in repentance and faith every time I see myself falling short of God's standards? See, how we answer those questions will show us the amount of confidence that we actually have in our product. But when we keep seeing the work of the gospel in our own lives, well, it's actually really hard to hide our confidence, isn't it? You know, you won't be able to stop living and speaking and preaching Jesus wherever you are. And I think that's what we should be striving for as well, so that when newcomers come into church, they just see a bunch of really good mini hosts who all have a lot of confidence in the product they have, that they have, and the product that they are offering on behalf of God. Now, being a good host might have sounded like just an exhaustive list of things to do and fulfill. But when we go back to the command that we started with, welcome others as you'd like to be welcome, what I'm really encouraging everyone to do is to build a bit of empathy for others. Behind the idea of being a good host, either in this world or in the church, it's really just a call to look beyond ourselves. If we were a group of people without hope, and this is the only life that we have, then looking after ourselves and protecting all the things around us, it makes a lot of sense. But if God has given us a new hope, I think we can do a bit more to actually bridge that gap between us and the outsider. Having Jesus in your life means that you're already equipped to be that great host, to welcome others into God's family, just as you have been welcomed in yourself. After that time when I was hosted to lots of good food at this great tennis club, a few weeks later it was our turn to host and return the favor. But because we weren't as prepared as we should have been, we only brought some biscuits and dips on this table in the veranda of our very own club. It wasn't exactly what the opposition was expecting, and it certainly wasn't how they wanted to be welcomed in return. So let us keep thinking about how to welcome that outsider well, knowing that we have been welcomed by God already. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been welcomed in by your generosity. We pray that as a result of that, you will help us to be generous with our time, with our energy, and also in how we share our own lives. We've got this great hope, and our confidence doesn't just come from ourselves or our smarts with our words, but it comes in the gospel that you have given us that we can be confident in. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.